Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Coffee with a Calvinist. My name is Keith Foskey, and I am a Calvinist. Today is a special day because today we are doing our first Coffee with a Calvinist interview, which would make this coffee with two Calvinists. And joining me today is a very dear friend of mine from South Florida, and his name is Sam Brown. Sam, it's great to have you today.
Hi, my name is Sam, and what's a Calvinist?
Oh, well, you know what a Calvinist is, I'm pretty sure. That's his lovely wife walking by in the background. Today, Sam and I are going to be talking about the subject, the futility of atheism. Now, before we get to that, I want to sort of give a little bit of a background about why I invited Sam to be with us today. Sam and I met one another several years ago when I had a screen printing t-shirt business, and Sam helped me to design one of my t-shirts that we used. It was a big t-shirt. It said, what did it say? It said the gospel.
Repent and believe.
Yeah, that was it. Just repent and believe the gospel. And it was a great shirt. I still wear mine to this day. And I made some shirts for Sam since then. We made a Space Force shirt. I wish you'd have worn that one today. The Space Force shirt was great. But Sam is also a person who loves to tell people about Jesus. And Sam has an interesting history, and I want him to share it with us, share it with you, because Sam is someone who would identify himself as a former atheist. And I know that I came to Christ when I was 19 years old, or actually Christ saved me when I was 19 years old. He drew me to himself. And one of the key factors in Christ saving me was an interaction with an atheist. I met a man who said, I'm just too smart to believe in those things, and those things being the things about the Bible. And so that led me to research what I had always been taught. It led me to really evaluate the things. And for a while, I was toying with the idea that maybe it was all just foolishness. And that's when God came and changed my heart and drew me to himself and saved me. So now, Sam, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to tell us how the Lord saved you and what he drew you out of.
Okay, so I say that the Lord had me on the layaway plan. It took a long time for me to come to faith. I got the last of 10 kids in a broken home, really just sort of never hearing the gospel, never really understanding it, hearing it, but, you know, not really seeing it. So I didn't really hear the gospel and understand it until I was, I think, 37 or 38. And I only heard it because, you see this beautiful woman sitting behind me over here, her name's Christy, and, she's the love of my life. And we met October 8th, 1991 at 2:47 PM. And I knew in that moment that that was the woman I was going to spend the rest of my life with. But at that time, I was a God hater. I used to profess atheism, but really I just hated God. Cause I had a rough upbringing. I really wasn't, you know, very educated. I wasn't very of a very sound mind. So it wasn't until almost 20 years later, when our marriage was in trouble, that we decided to try to attend a church as like a desperate last plea. And God put the right people in the right place, saved me into a very Calvinistic church with a very pastor that was very much like me. He's a rough fellow. He's not a pale-skinned virgin priest. You know, he was a rough guy who could reach me, right? So over the course of the year, I showed up and I said, look, I don't believe all this crap, but my wife wants to try it, so let's do this. And after a few weeks, I'm like, this church is boring. There's no sound. Let me set up some sound for you. He's like, okay. And over the course of the next year, somehow I became a Christian. God works in those kind of ways. So it really took an act of God, obviously, to get me there. But it was not intentional, and it was through no effort of my own.
Amen. Amen. And praise God that he works on drawing us a lot more than we work on going toward him, because we don't work on going toward him at all.
I've never thought of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So Sam, what would you say, you know, if an atheist came across this video and they were in a situation maybe where you were when you first, were in the situation of being a God hater, what would you say to someone today if they said to you, I'm an atheist, I don't believe God exists, and I certainly don't believe the God of the Bible exists? What would you say to them?
So I frequently have these conversations intentionally. You know, a lot of people, you'll hear everybody say, oh, we're not supposed to talk about religion or politics. I'm like, those are the only things that I want to talk about, right? Those are the only things that matter, right? So really depending on who the person was and how well I knew them, like just last night I was having a messenger conversation with an unbeliever who was a female. She's sweet. You know, I've known her for a couple of years, but I would approach her very differently than I would like a rough guy. But I tend to do better with like rough men because nobody wants to talk to them, right? All these, Vodi Balcom described it as the sissified needy Jesus, right? That's what people believe in, is that sort of Jesus is real nice and he just doesn't ever say anything that's not nice. Well, I think that's nonsense. So sometimes you just have to, I just get in people's face and I go, so this one fellow said to me, I'm an atheist, I don't believe that. I laughed. I go, you don't really believe that, do you? Don't say that out loud. People are going to think you're stupid. Right? And he goes, what are you talking about? And it led to a conversation, which now 4 years later, we're very good friends, and he's hungry for the gospel. So, you know, sometimes you have to talk to people on their level. Now, I am by no means an apologist. I have very little skill, very little knowledge. I've only been saved for a couple of years. But I do believe that God prepares us to interact with the people that he's going to put in our path. So there are several, I describe us as rough men, who I have a close friendship with, and we really just beneficial to each other.
Amen. Amen. So how did the conversation with the lady go? You said you were having the conversation with the lady. You said you were a little bit softer speaking with her. Yeah.
Yeah. And she just kept saying, thank you for the gentle response, was something that she said to me a few times, because, you know, she was bearing her soul to me and telling me some of the horrible things she's been through. And, you know, I understand, you know, because I was mad at God for those things. Right. I understand. But I had heard an apologist once say that he's talking to a Buddhist who had this Buddha book, and he had revealed to him that his father committed suicide. He goes, so when your dad committed suicide, was Buddha the one that you were mad at? No, you weren't mad at Buddha. You're mad at God, right? Because you know God exists, right? Right. We know that God exists. Everything in creation screams out that God exists. And if you deny that, you're just speaking nonsense.
Wow. That's very powerful. You weren't mad at Buddha, you were mad at God. That is a powerful, powerful truth. Well, Sam, I love talking to you and I love watching you online. Part of the reason why I wanted to do this interview with you is because you are a very, interesting individual since I have begun to know you. And a lot of people probably on my friends list are maybe not friends with you, but they've seen me tag you in a thousand things, because every time I see something that I think is a great apologetic or a great meme, especially a good Christian meme, I love to share that with you. And I've enjoyed the way that the Lord has brought us together as friends. I've really enjoyed you've been to our church, I think, two times or at least, right? And that's driving all the way up from Melbourne, right, is where you're at?
Melbourne, yep.
Yeah.
Central Florida. You described it as South Florida, but Central Florida.
Yeah. But it's still a drive.
We don't mess with those South Florida people.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, you know, Florida man has gained an international attention. And so we are both Florida men. Are you from Florida? Or is this where you're from?
Yeah. I was born in the great city of Orlando on a dark winter night.
I gotcha. Well, I was born in Jacksonville, and I've never Callahan is right outside of Jacksonville, is where I grew up.
Okay.
But this is where I've been all my life, and Lord willing, it's where I'll be until he takes me home. I love the church I'm in. I don't have any intention of being anywhere else unless God has another plan. And there's a lot going on right now that I never expected in my lifetime, all the things that are happening. And I know you have a thousand opinions on Corona and COVID-19 and all those things. And for the sake of safety and brevity, I'm not going to go too far down that path. But I do think this is a time where speaking to people who don't believe in God is very important, because this is a time where people are facing fear, doubt, the reality of mortality. So could you do me a favor? Could you share the gospel? Like if you were going to share the gospel with me, if I was an unbeliever, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you were, if I was someone who maybe not an atheist, but if I just want to, on these interviews, I want to have the opportunity for whoever's listening to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So, epistemologically, like I like to dig deep. Philosophically, epistemologically, you know, I go right to the heart of things. You know, why do you believe what you believe? Right. So we dig down there, and if we address that first, then we knock out any disagreements that we're going to have. And then we can talk heart to heart, you know, that Jesus Christ, tortured on the cross, died for us, rose again so that we can be seated next to the Father. Or so that he's seated next to the Father and we can be with him in eternity, that our sins are washed away by the debt that he paid that we could never repay, right? Our sins are not so great, but they're so great because of who they're a sin against, right? If I sin against Keith Foskey, who cares?
Yeah.
But my sins are against the Lord God Almighty. Therefore, it is infinitely worse because of who it's against. Right. So the first thing I want to do is, Francis Schaeffer said, was asked, if you had an hour to share the gospel with people, what would you do? He said, I would talk about sin for 55 minutes so that people know the reason for the need to be saved, because otherwise they're going to go, well, what am I being saved from? You know, God's saving me from himself. Why? What did I do? Right. So we have to talk about sin. We have to understand who we are. And then R.C. Sproul, another one who I just adore, you know, said, we don't know who God is. We don't understand how holy and righteous he is, because we think God is love. And yes, God is love, but God is also just. He is also righteous. He is also holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
And if we don't understand that part, we're not going to see the need for a savior.
Yeah.
So I tend to focus on people's sin, and a lot of great comfort the way, you know, people goes, I think I'm a good person. Oh, really? Have you ever lied? You never stolen anything? So you're a liar and a thief. Okay, so you still are a good person. So, I like to focus on sin and then bring the gospel, just to ensure that we're talking about the same thing.
Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, well, I want to now turn our attention a little bit. I want to make this, again, I want to make this fun. And for those of you who are watching for the first time, this is the first time I've ever given an interview. And yay. So, yeah, and I'm thankful to interview my friend Sam. And so right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch up to a game. I thought it would be fun to play a game. I brought along this little timer that goes along with one of the board games that I have. And this timer is going to be used by us, and we're going to do a back and forth to see who can give the most memory verses. Now, So we're going to both do Bible chapter and verse, and I hope you'll be able to hear it. Every time I'll go first and I get one, I'm going to click on this, and then you'll hear it clicking. And then when Sam gets one, I'll click it over. And if either one of us, when it's our time, runs out of time, it'll give a little car horn honk, and that'll mean that person is out. So we'll do this. We're going to see how it goes. I'll go first. And I can't even think of one.
Start the timer. Yeah.
Okay.
You're cheating already.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1. Go. Okay. All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1.
You stole mine.
Okay.
That's what I was going to do.
Okay.
Right. Is it my time now?
Your turn.
Habakkuk 1:2. How long will I cry out and you will not hear me?
Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1.
That's mine again, you just stole. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is being poured out upon all the unrighteousness of all men.
Amen. Okay. John 1:14. I can't do it. See, I do this. This is killing me. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 3:17, for Christ came not into the world to condemn it, but to whatever. I forget the last word.
Okay. And you did too, so I'll get, okay. Before Abraham was, I am. John 8:58.
John 11:35, Jesus wept.
Oh, you can, yeah, okay.
Boom.
Oh, boy. See, I know a lot more than this, but I can't. I promise I'm not just, I'm horrible under the gun.
Come on, Dr. Pastor.
I know. Oh, no.
I win.
You did win, and you won fair and square.
No, no, wait, I haven't won yet because I have to give one, right?
For the sake of the game, it was whoever went out lost. So I went out.
Okay.
So I'm the loser. Now, I do want to wrap up our interview, for the sake of time. I'm trying to keep these relatively short. I'm hoping people will enjoy them and be willing to share them. And, I have a couple of quick final questions for you.
Okay.
Number one, what is your favorite, and I'm going to say these, I'm going to say it three times. I'm going to say favorite book of the Bible, favorite verse of the Bible, and they don't have to necessarily be the same because mine's different. Like I have a favorite book and a favorite verse, and they aren't always in the same thing. So what is your favorite book of the Bible? And like say you were stranded on a desert island, you could only take one book of the Bible with you. What would it be?
Habakkuk.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Habakkuk was the one I spent a year at seminary. I had hoped.
Oh, see, that's why you won the contest. That's what it is.
Yeah. I wasn't a very good student. But I did have several, instances to be able to preach at a local church. And my first sermon series was on Habakkuk because it's a book that is so powerful. It's only three short chapters. But it's one of the most quoted books in the New Testament. And it's unique in the way, that the prophet is speaking directly with God and gets answers. And just the way that it plays out is so beautiful. And it's really relevant now. Like I would think that if a pastor was looking for a sermon series to do now with the coronavirus and the plagues of locusts and all that, that Habakkuk would be an excellent book to preach on. I see you taking notes. I can just come up there and give my series for you. That's why.
Okay. I tell you what, I'll stand there and you can preach in the background and I'll just move my lips.
Okay, and then favorite verse, Jesus wept. I think that so much just encapsulates the entirety of the story that we need to understand. We don't get that Jesus was fully God and fully man.
Amen.
Right? He went through everything that we do, right? We have a savior, not like, you know, an 18 arm Shiva, which is some fantastical, ridiculous thing made up. We had a savior that became flesh and died for our sins. And so he understood everything. You know, you think you're anxious. What about when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? He, you know, was so anxious that he sweat blood, right? He understood everything that we go through. So we can't say that we're not, you know, praying to a God who doesn't understand us. He understands us in every single way because he created us, you know, from the very moment of conception. I'm sorry. Like I said, I tend to rant.
No, that's perfect. Okay. So, I'm going to give you two questions. Your favorite Bible teacher, living and no longer living, no longer living in this world, we could say with Christ. Who's your favorite living Bible teacher? And can't say me. Not
well,
that you would.
Actually, and I tend to riff on things, so I hope this isn't offensive. But actually, you are like an image of my current favorite Bible teacher living, and that's Jeff Durbin. I have a huge man crush on Jeff Durbin.
Okay.
And I see you as maybe like a plus size Jeff Durbin, right? You're a karate guy.
Okay, I'll have to send Jeff Durbin this video. Just the plus size Jeff Durbin. That was probably the greatest compliment I've gotten in a while. Okay.
Yeah, I just love that guy so much because really just his exposition, his heart for the unborn, just the fact that he's just a normal good guy, and but he's assertive with proclaiming the gospel, as we should be. You know, for so many years I've seen these sissified, pale-skinned virgin priests who just want to smile and like Joel Osteen, because I don't want to talk about sin because those people know they're bad. They don't. We don't. We think that we are amazing. So without proclaiming the truth of the gospel to people, they're never going to get it.
Yeah.
And as far as, you know, my favorite non-living, or at least not earthly living, Bible teacher, goodness. You know, Bonhoeffer has really, but I don't really know that it wasn't really like an extoller. So maybe Whitfield, George Whitfield. Okay. I loved how they would write about George Whitfield, how he would become so overcome with emotion that he would collapse on the lectern there, and they were afraid that he wasn't going to recover because he was, but, and he was like, you laugh at me because I'm crying, but your very souls are in danger and you don't understand it. Like, that guy had a heart for people and just loved people. And probably one of my favorite quotes is from C.T. Studd. He said, most people want to live within the sound of church bells. I want to run a rescue mission 1 yard outside of hell.
Amen.
I mean, that's it, Amen. Brother. That is somebody who had a heart for people and really wanted to proclaim the gospel to people as they were marching through the gates of hell. You know, you can't go there without saying you haven't heard the gospel.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's it.
Well, brother, I have so appreciated you, and I've enjoyed this time together. And I'm going to just do a quick prayer for those who are listening and for you and me. And so if we could pray together. Father, I thank you for this time with my friend. I pray that this has been a blessing to him and I know it has been to me. And I thank you, Lord, and I pray that this would be a blessing to anyone who hears it. Lord, especially one who might be struggling in unbelief. Lord, may we see the futility of atheism and the beauty of the cross. And may we see Christ as worthy of worship as he truly is. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And
thank you,
Keith Foskey.
Thank you, Sam Brown. Plus size. I love you, brother, and I look forward to seeing you online. May God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to Coffee with a Calvinist. I want to remind you that if you like what you have seen, please take a moment and thumbs up this video if you're watching it on YouTube. Leave us a comment and even subscribe if you haven't yet. This helps us to reach a larger audience. If you're watching on Facebook, please like and share this video. Thank you again for watching Coffee and a Calvinist. My name is Keith, and I've been your Calvinist.